Good morning and welcome to our service here with Ingleton Evangelical Church. If you don't know me, my name is James and I'll be leading our time together. In this unusual season, we want to continue to worship God together, even if we are in different locations, having varied experiences. The thing that unites our worship is God's Word and Spirit. And he is so generous to give us both in such abundance. So we're going to pray now. We're going to thank God for his goodness to us. And we're going to ask him to help us as we consider his word in the Bible together. We're also going to pray for the ongoing situation in the United States with protests and riots after the death of George Floyd. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for being such a wise and generous God, always giving good gifts to your undeserving creatures, watching over us with your loving eye. You truly are merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, loving, forgiving, and yet always ruling with justice. And our hearts break for the situation in the States. We pray for justice for the family of George Floyd. We pray that you would comfort them in their grief. We pray for peace for those who are hurt and angry. We pray for forgiveness and reconciliation between victims and perpetrators, wrongdoers and those who have been wronged. We pray that the church would proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, who knows all too well what it means to suffer injustice. Arrested and tried under false charges, tortured and put to death on the cross for crimes he didn't commit. We thank you that the gospel gives us hope because Jesus was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit who still revives dead hearts today. And so we pray that you would have mercy on America in these evil days. We pray that those who are stirring up trouble and committing crimes under the guise of protest would be lawfully stopped, and those peacefully protesting would be able to have their voices heard. We pray for the police, who have extremely difficult and often thankless jobs. We ask that these events would not further erode respect for these men and women who put their lives on the line to protect and serve local communities. In these dark days, we pray that the gospel would be the power of God unto salvation for many, that light would break into the darkness, that your unstoppable kingdom would advance, and that people would see and marvel at your greatness. Lord, we thank you for your word in the Bible. We praise you that it enriches our lives, giving them meaning and significance, transforming us from those who are turned inward to those who are turned outward and upward. Help us now as we open the scriptures to think your thoughts after you, to better understand you, ourselves, and your world, and to give you all the glory. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God, and there is no other. We pray all these things in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. If you have your Bibles, please turn in them to Genesis chapter 1. We're going to be continuing our series in the opening chapters of the Bible. So we're going to be looking at Genesis chapter 1, beginning at verse 24. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 24. Then God said, "Let the earth produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that crawl, and the wildlife of the earth according to their kinds." And it was so. So God made the wildlife of the earth according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that crawl on the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. They will rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock, the whole earth, and the creatures that crawl on the earth." So God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them, male and female. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and every creature that crawls on the earth." God also said, "Look, I have given you every seed-bearing plant on the surface of the entire earth, and every tree whose fruit contains seed. This will be food for you, for all the wildlife of the earth, for every bird of the sky, and for every creature that crawls on the earth. Everything having the breath of life in it, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good indeed. Evening came, and then morning, the sixth day. This is God's truthful and life-giving word. May he help us now as we consider it together. Well, as we thought about last time, Genesis is foundational. It confronts us with ultimate questions, the big questions of life. Sometimes we are forced to consider these questions when tragedy strikes or during unsettling times, such as this current crisis. We might even consider these questions when we approach a milestone, the birth of a child or a significant birthday. But the Bible is always provoking us to answer these big questions. Where did everything come from? And why does it exist? Who am I? And how do I fit into these purposes? Well, on the sixth day of creation, we are given answers to some of these ultimate questions. Genesis 1 records the first 5 days of creation when God formed the earth, and then he began filling it with various inhabitants. And now on the sixth day, in verses 24 and 25, the land animals are created. And then in verses 26 and 27, humans are created. And with the creation of humanity, we arrive at the summit. Everything has been leading up to this point. And it is here we find answers to those big questions. These verses inform us that God created us in his image and likeness. Now, these words are used interchangeably in the Bible, but what does it mean to be made in the image and likeness of the Creator? How does being made in this way answer the big questions of life? Well, much has been written on this subject, but I think it will be helpful for us to think about the image of God with words that all begin with the letter R. Firstly, the image of God speaks of resemblance. The word image literally means something that is carved or etched. You can pull a coin out of your pocket and you can see an image of Queen Elizabeth II. The engraving of her face on our coins is an image that resembles her. Well, in the same way, when the Bible says that we are made in God's image, it means that we, in some way, resemble him. Not physically, for the Bible says that God is spirit, but we resemble him in other ways. And that brings us to our next word that begins with R. Secondly, the image of God speaks of relationship. Something that stands out in this passage is that God has a conversation with himself in verse 26. "Let us make man in our image." God is deliberating, planning what he is about to do. And we see here that there is mysteriously a community within God. In our passage from last time, we saw that God and his spirit are distinct. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. So there is God, and there is the Spirit of God. And the New Testament makes it clear that God's Word is identified as his Son. John's Gospel begins, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So right here in this opening chapter of the Bible, we get hints that God is one, and yet God is also three. This is what Christians call the Trinity. God is singular in his divinity, in his godness, and plural in his persons. And these persons, Father, Son, and Spirit, are in relationship with one another. And here in our passage, they speak to one another. deliberating, planning. Let us make man in our image. So we see here that God is a relational being. But then he speaks of making man in his image. And what does he do? He creates a unified humanity, expressed poetically in verse 27. So God created man in his image. He created him in the image of God. But then notice the last line of poetry. He created them, male and female. Humans are unified as creatures made in God's image, but they are also diverse, male and female. So God created humanity to be relational creatures, like he is within the Godhead, Father, Son, and Spirit. But there is still more. God created humanity to be in relationship with himself. Verse 28, God blessed them, and God said to them. Up until this point, God has been speaking everything into existence. Now, he creates man and woman in his image, and he speaks directly to them, personally addressing them. God created us to be in relationship with each other, and even more importantly, to be in relationship with himself. Out of all the creatures, we alone hear God's voice and are called to respond appropriately. This forces us to ask the question, do you have a genuine relationship with God, listening to his voice in the pages of the Bible and responding appropriately in repentance and faith? Or has he been ignored while we got on with other things in life? In addition to our relationship with God, we must consider if we, as much as we possibly can, pursue good relationships with other image bearers, no matter who they are, no matter what they've done. These are important questions that the Bible forces us to answer as we consider the idea of being made in God's image. So the image of God means that we resemble God, and one way that we resemble God is by being relational. Thirdly, the image of God speaks of reflection. One of the most interesting things about this concept is that in the Bible, it doesn't directly identify or define what the image of God is. It merely says we're made in God's image, and then it goes on with the story. Coming back to the idea of resemblance, the question we are to ask as we read through the Bible is whether or not the people we meet in its pages are resembling the Creator, whether or not they reflect who he is by what they think and say and do. In one sense, this foundational concept is providing a way for us to read the Bible. Across its pages, we begin to piece together what God is like. We see the things he does, we listen to his words, we ask what he must be like in order to keep his promises. And then with each human character in the drama, we are to compare them to God and see if they are responding to him appropriately, whether or not they are resembling him in their character, reflecting him in their words and their actions. But even more importantly, it should help us as we examine our own lives. Am I reflecting God's character? Am I resembling him? Do the words I say and my actions show other people what God is like? These are important questions we are to ask as image bearers. Fourthly and finally, the image of God speaks of representation. In verse 28, we get what is often called the creation mandate. God speaks to the people he made, and he gives them responsibilities, gives them a mission, a job to do, to represent him as stewards over his world and its creatures. Verse 28, God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and every creature that crawls on the earth." God is the creator and king over all things. Now he creates people in his image, and he calls on them to represent him in the world. We are visible images of his invisible self. And really, you can boil down verse 28 to two jobs. Firstly, we are to fill the world with fellow image bearers, Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. Three ways of saying the same thing. God is calling on humanity as male and female, as husband and wife, as we will find out in chapter 2, to reproduce and to raise the next generation of children who will live as those who resemble and reflect God. And in case you're wondering about those couples who don't have children or single people, God is calling them to help raise the next generation, to be a role model for someone else's child, to help shape them, to pray for and practically support couples raising children. We are all responsible to fill the world with image bearers who represent God. No matter who we are all called to contribute to this endeavor in whatever ways we can. So that's the first job God gives his people. Fill the world with more reflections of himself. Secondly, we are to rule over the creation. He gives us the responsibility of subduing the earth and ruling over the animal kingdom. We are in charge of God's world under his authority, and we are called to care for and to cultivate it, to refashion it and to restore it, using all of our creativity and intelligence and strength to cooperate with one another in order to conserve the world and make it habitable for more image bearers. How can we do this individually? Well, every time you productively develop skills or manage resources and accomplish something, whether it's chores at home or working 9 to 5, whether it's your hobbies or even your leisure, every time you conserve the natural world and making the world an even better place to live for the next generation, every time you do anything creative where you have to use your mind and your strength to solve a problem, whatever sphere God has put you in, home, community, church, society, workplace, you are called to live as the image of God, ruling as stewards of God's good gifts, managers of God's property under his ultimate authority. Whatever God has given us to do, we are called to do it with all of our soul, body, mind, and strength. Whatever age and stage of life you're in, whatever abilities you have, even if you don't have the bodily capability and the mental capacity you once did, even if you don't feel like you have some great role to play or ability to accomplish much, everyone has a part to play in caring for the creation and being a productive member of the human race. So what is the image of God? It means that we are creatures made to resemble and reflect God in all we are and in all we do. We are made to have a relationship with him as well as with one another, and we are called to represent him as stewards of his creation, exercising godly authority over the things he has made. So let's think of some important implications for us today. The first question we are to ask ourselves is how we are doing. Do our day-to-day lives resemble the goodness and faithfulness and justice of God? Are you and I reflecting God's holiness in our lives? Are we filling the earth with his glory or with our sin? Do we have a relationship with God, listening and responding to his voice with repentance and faith? Do we exercise authority over God's world or lazily procrastinate and make excuses? Do we believe other people in God's world are equally worthy of dignity and respect, no matter their race or gender or age or status? Do you and I look upward to find our identity, or are we looking around at earthly things? You see, none of us can really answer these questions with a completely honest and wholehearted yes. We've all failed over and over, and we have ended up reflecting God in distorted and corrupt ways. A helpful way of thinking about the image of God is by comparing it to a mirror. I remember as a child seeing one of those funhouse mirrors that you can bend in order to change your body shape, short and wide or tall and thin. The image of God is kind of like that. We are mirrors designed to reflect the glory of our Creator, but we curve them in on ourselves in such a way that we are the only thing that we see. And then when God looks at himself in this mirror, he only sees himself as small and insignificant. Our problem is that we intentionally haven't resembled him properly. We haven't wholeheartedly loved him or other people. We haven't cared for his creation or helped raise and form the next generation to honor him. There are a multitude of ways that we have all failed to be the people he made us to be. We'll find out in a couple of chapters that the first man and woman failed in every respect. And we can read through the pages of the Bible and see person after person, generation after generation, even the best examples, the great heroes of the faith, fail to live up to God's purposes in creation. But the story of the Bible doesn't end with humanity's failure. No, the apex of human history was the coming of God's Son into the world. The divine Word taking on human flesh to live a sinless life and to die a sinner's death to rescue us from our failure. And one of the interesting ways the New Testament describes Jesus is by calling him the image of the invisible God. The book of Hebrews describes him as the radiance of God's glory and the exact expression of his nature. In Jesus, we see everything humanity was created to be summed up in him. Jesus isn't that funhouse mirror that distorts. He is more like one of the mirrors in a deep space telescope. They are clean. They are perfectly polished so that they can reflect light accurately, even from the faintest, farthest stars in the universe. In the same way, Jesus perfectly resembles God. He is even able to say, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." He sinlessly related to God and to other people. He reflected God, saying and doing everything according to the Father's will. Jesus is the image of God. And he rescues and restores the image of God in us. Our sin has corrupted us all the way down. We are twisted, we are skewed, we are warped and misshapen. We are curved in on ourselves so that we aren't willing and we aren't able to unravel ourselves. We need our Creator to restore us, to remake the image of God in us. This is the destiny of God's people, those who rely on Jesus for the forgiveness of sins and for new life. God promises them in Romans 8:29 that they will be conformed into the image of his Son. Have you been restored? Have you opened your eyes and looked to Jesus, the perfect image of the living God? You have no hope of saving yourself, trying your best in your own strength to reflect God's character and to represent him in this world. No, you need to only come to him in repentance and faith, turning from yourself and your sins and turning towards the one who has life and who gives life to all who ask. And for those who have been recreated, Jesus gives a new commission, a great commission. Yes, we are to continue reproducing and filling the earth with the next generation. We are to continue being good stewards of God's good creation. But now he also calls us to go and make disciples and fill the earth with restored image bearers who will go out and reflect the glory of God, shining like stars forever and ever. Where did everything come from? And why does it exist? Who am I? And how do I fit into these purposes? God created everything to be formed and filled with His glory. You and I are made in the image of God, designed to shine brightly with God's glory from generation to generation and to the ends of the earth. Now let's pray together. Father God, in You we live and move and have our being. We were made by You to live in Your creation under Your rule, according to Your ways, Your standards, Your purposes. You have called us to reflect Your glory, and yet we have sought to promote ourselves and be glorious in Your place. Forgive us for our failure to live rightly in Your image. Give us the humility to come to You, to restore order in our lives and our families and our communities and our nation. We need You. We praise and thank You for Your Son, the perfect and final image of God. And we pray all these things in His name above all names, the powerful name of Jesus, who lives and reigns with You in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. This concludes our time together. Thank you for joining us. Now please head over to the playlists where there are some songs for us to sing that fit some of the themes that we looked at here in Genesis chapter 1. There are also some material for the children, including some songs and a short talk by one of our members, Lauren, about the fruits of the Spirit. And if you have any questions or comments, perhaps about something I said, or maybe something that I didn't address, anything at all, I would love to hear from you. Please head over to our website at www.ingletonevangelicalchurch.org and click on the Contact tab and follow the directions to send a message. I'd love to hear from you. Until next time, may God be with you until we meet again.